The sermon title today is The Called Part 2. And if we review from last week, now I want us to turn to Romans chapter 8. We were there last week. We're going to go back there today. And even though that there's times throughout the sermon today, I am going to leave Romans 8. I want you to save that place in your Bible because we are going to be going back to that. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the what? That are the called according to His purpose." Those that have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior are the called of God. You have been called out of a world of darkness to the marvelous light in the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week, no one is born by accident. Last week we said we looked at Jeremiah and God knew him before he was even in the womb. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Brother and sister, God chose for you to be born. And with that choosing came a plan and a purpose. For every child that is born, God has a plan and a purpose for them, and He has a plan and He has a purpose for you. God has a plan, He has a purpose, and not only your life, but for every life. If we look closely at verse 28, those that accept Jesus are the called. Each has a purpose. He has a purpose for each of us. And that purpose that we have is to fulfill God's purpose for us, in us, and through us. When you look at verse 28 again, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." Now listen to it. To those who are called, you're the called. According to what? According to His purpose. So He has a purpose for each and every one of you. Remember the step process that we talked about last week. For God's plan for you, step number one is for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Step number two, for you to be transformed day by day into the very image of Jesus through the work of sanctification. And I want to bring out just a little bit of teaching about sanctification with you today, because we went over that pretty fast last week, but I want to hit a couple of scriptures today. Sanctification is an ongoing, lifelong task, transforming you into the very image of Jesus. In verse 29, it says, "For whom He foreknew, who He also predestined to be what? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So sanctification means to be cleansed, to be set apart, to mature your life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a maturing ministry that is ongoing in each and every one of us. There are two ways that we are sanctified. We are sanctified by His Word, and we are sanctified by His Spirit. Now turn with me, save your place in Romans 8, but turn with me to Romans 15 and verse 16. Romans 15 and verse 16. Romans 15 and verse 16. It says in verse 16, "That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." In your walk for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sanctified by the presence of His Spirit. The called of God should long for that presence. We should seek that presence. We should hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God. We should hunger and thirst after His presence. To be in the presence of God, there is not anything that is more beautiful than being in the presence of God. In the presence of God, in the psalm, it says it's the presence of joy. That we can have that joy because we are surrounded by His presence. We should all desire that for each and every one of our lives. And we don't only desire it in the church. Well, I desire that every day of my life, that I will be in the presence of the Lord sometime during that day. We are also sanctified not only by His Spirit, but we are also sanctified by His Word. So in Romans 15, verse 16, it says sanctified by the Holy Spirit, but also it brings out that we are sanctified by the Word of God. So through His Word today, through His anointing power and the presence of His Spirit, you are being sanctified while you're sitting in the congregation. That's why when you get up on Sunday mornings and you're tired and you're dragging and you say, you know, I would just as soon stay home today and I would just as soon sleep. I don't feel that well. I don't really feel up to going to church that day. But you go to church that day and when you walk back out the door, you say, well, I feel so much better. Why do you feel better? Because you've sat underneath the power of the Word, because you've heard the Word and it's been read, and that sanctification, that cleansing and that separating. And not only that, as we join together as Christians, as a family, of God, you sit underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So all the time that you come to the house of the Lord, you're being cleansed from the world and the ugliness that surrounds us in this life today. Through His Word today, we are sanctified. Our challenge is to do it daily. That when you leave this place today, tomorrow, you're going to pick up the Word of God. You're going to pray and you're going to seek God's guidance and direction in your life because you want that presence and you want that sanctification, you want that cleansing in your life. So step one is to know Jesus. Step two is to grow in Christ. Step number three is to tell others. Share your faith, witness. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you have yourself involved in step two and three. So you can say, yes, I've accepted Jesus. Yes, I've involved myself in step two. I am in a daily Bible study. I pray and I seek the Lord every day. Step three, when I have the opportunity to witness to other people, I've been involved in that and I share my faith. You're doing the things that God wants you to do. Now listen to me. You're doing the things that God wants you to do, then why are we shocked when we get hurt? Why God? Why me? You've all been there. You've all done that. Somebody in the church would say something offensive. Somebody in the outside world would say something offensive because you have shared your faith. And maybe you felt some persecution from that. And you say, God, why is that? Because I'm doing what you want me to do. I would like to protect you all. I would like to all say that this church is a perfect place. And we have all things in common and we love each other and we're never going to say anything hurtful to one another. We're always going to love each other. We're always going to protect each other. We're going to always care for each other. And I would not be telling you the truth if I told you that. So I would like to protect you all and put you in a bubble, but you would like to do that with your children as well. We think about our kids growing up and they're going to go to an ungodly public school system. That just scares me to death. So, you know, I'm concerned about that. I want to protect my children from that, but I cannot put my children in a bubble, and God cannot put you in a bubble as well. So since He cannot put you in a bubble, He's going to use that for your benefit. He's going to use that persecution. He's going to use that hurt to grow you and to mature your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will face negative reactions from outside the church, maybe even persecution. And you will face those in the church that get over in the flesh. We should never be shocked by adversity, but we should expect adversity. Expect, not be surprised by it, but know that it is going to come and that I am prepared to face that adversity to grow my life in the Lord Jesus, going back to Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. So God is going to use that adversity. He's going to use that hurt. He's going to use that persecution to draw me into a closer relationship with my Heavenly Father, and He is going to mature me through that. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, I'm using a new Bible today, and some of the pages are stuck together, but boy, the words, I mean, I could throw this out in the middle of the aisle and still read the words off this page. Got that big, bold print, that big stuff, you know. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange, considering the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Like it's only happened to you, it hasn't happened to any other Christian. But rejoice to the extent that you're partaker of Jesus Christ's sufferings. And when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. Can't hurt me, can't do nothing to me, because I'm saved, I'm the called. The question is knowing who you are in Jesus. And that's where you have to walk a walk of faith, of knowing without a shadow of doubt, I've accepted Jesus. I'm living my life for Jesus. I am the called of Jesus. I have a purpose in my life. God has a plan for my life. Adversity, you might as well walk on down the road the other way, because I'm not accepting it. I'm not taking it, because I am the called of God. The challenge that we face is sometimes is when that adversity comes from within the body of Christ, because then we don't expect people to act that way. Because why? Because they're supposed to be Christians. But we all have a choice. If you say something to me, I have a choice of how I'm going to react to you. Am I going to react to you in the flesh, or am I going to react to you in the spirit? If I say something that is hurtful to you, that is out of the order, that is wrong, then I'm probably acting out of the flesh. But sometimes it's more devastating when we're hurt by those that are in the body of Christ, because we have a higher expectation of them, because they are supposed to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, brother and sister, we're all sinners, and we've just been saved by grace. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you do. I know that you have been saved by grace, and because you've been saved by grace, you are not perfect, because we're all growing in Jesus. He's doing a work in each and every one of our lives. Sometimes we don't stop and realize that verse 28 are not all good things that are going to happen to us, but even God will use the bad things to grow us in our relationship that we have with Jesus. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. So you've got yourself, your place saved in Romans chapter 8. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Listen to the words. Romans chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 of Romans 5 says this: Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember who your peace comes from. Your peace isn't going to come from those within the body of Christ. Your peace isn't going to come from those in the world. Your peace, your completeness. The word says in Colossians that we are complete in Christ Jesus. I love your support, and I love your love, and I want your support, but I don't have to have it, because I am complete in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us to remember that as individuals when we face adversity, to recognize who we are in Jesus. So he says in verse 1, Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, our God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Now listen to verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. When's the last time you gloried in tribulation? I don't find that as my number one hit list, to glory in tribulation. But he says when you experience those things, you're experiencing the same thing that Jesus did. And because you are experiencing those things, rather than looking upon it as negative, look upon it as being positive, that you can glory in your life because you're transformed and walking in the feet of Jesus. You're going to face adversity. He says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Through our tribulations, our challenges, our adversity, comes maturity to grow up in Jesus. And that's why we can say in Romans 8:28, all things, good and bad, work together for good, because God is going to use them for my good, because God will use them for our good in our lives. What was Paul trying to do? Now, when you look at Romans chapter 8, sometimes we can look at the part that we want to look at and say, boy, I love that. God is working on my behalf. I've got a purpose. He's got a plan for me. He's working in my life. But sometimes we kind of miss on what's going on in the book of Romans. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8 again. In the church, we have not done enough to prepare our people. And what that's what Paul was doing is to prepare them. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for slaughter. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, are you persuaded, saint? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Stay the course, brethren. Know who you are in the Lord Jesus. I had an old guy that used to tell me once in a while, he'd say, you know what, Brother Friel, I don't care how high you jump in Lord Jesus and how excited you get, when you land, the Lord is going to expect you to walk by faith. No matter what you go through, no matter how high your hands go up, that you're praising God and worshiping God, when you get back down on the ground, he's going to expect you to walk by faith. Now turn with me to John chapter 21. I'm moving rapidly, because we got a long ways to go today. John chapter 21. John 21. Verse 15. Beautiful, beautiful scripture. It says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, then tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you are younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Thus he spoke, and signifying that by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. What was Jesus telling Peter? Adversity is coming. Persecution is coming. But through that persecution, do you love me? Through that adversity, do you love me? And if you love me, then I want you to tend to my church. Church, we need to be about our Father's business, not letting adversity knock us backwards, not letting persecution knock us backwards. Be why? Is because we love Jesus. Anything you do for God, it has to be out of your love for Jesus. Not because you love people, not because you love to serve, not because you like youth, not because you want to serve youth. Everything that you do, I don't care if you're teaching super church, I don't care if you're playing the piano, I don't care if you're preaching, I don't care if you're teaching, you must do it out of your love for Jesus. Because out of your love for Jesus is the only thing that is lasting, because people will hurt you. People will step on you. They'll bring persecution. You say, well, I've had enough of that. Everybody in this church should be able to relate to this, what I'm going to say. I've had enough of that. I'm not going back to church again. I've had my toes stepped on. I've tried to do the right thing. I'm trying to do what the Lord wants me to do. And you know what? I'm just not going to do it anymore, because I'm tired of being hurt. That is not an excuse. Who killed Jesus besides the adversary, besides him giving his life? Nobody killed him. But it was the religious leaders of the day. Jesus was telling Peter, adversity is coming. Peter's focus was to be on the body of Christ through his love for Jesus. Now listen to me, husband and wives, I'll give you an example. Husband and wives, you focus on oneness. You don't focus on who's right. Have you ever, as a husband and wife, have you ever apologized to your husband, or have you ever apologized to your wife not knowing and not thinking that you really did anything wrong, but because it hurt her feelings or his feelings, you apologized because you wanted to support oneness of the relationship? You see how important that is? I don't care if I am really right in my relationship that I have with my spouse if it ends in divorce. The spouse doesn't really care how right they are in the relationship if it ends in divorce. You must always focus on the oneness of the relationship. My focus as a pastor needs to be the body of Christ. What is important for the body of Christ? I don't care what's important for Leo. I don't care what's important for Carol. I don't care what's important for Jason. I care for what is important to the body of Christ and to keep the unity of the body of Christ. So there's times, Christians, I have apologized to people that I didn't really think that I did anything wrong. But you know what my concern was? My concern was because they were hurt. Right and wrong don't have anything to do with it. Because you can walk in all the rightness of this world and still end up being terribly, terribly alone just because you think you were right. It doesn't matter if Leo is right in the church. It matters to me is that this church moves forward for the glory of God, that we can save everyone we can before the Lord Jesus comes. So if it takes me saying to you, I am sorry. I am sorry. I ask for your forgiveness. I beg for your forgiveness. Knowing in the fact that maybe I didn't do anything wrong, it doesn't matter. Jesus is what matters. His glory, lifting him up. Our focus always needs to be the body. But I will also encourage you, saints, that you cannot carry your heart of faith like this. If you carry your heart of faith like this, you won't be in church very long because somebody's going to knock it out of your hands. Been there? And when they knock it out of your hands, they also may kick it. Your heart of faith is founded in your life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has to be buried so deep that nobody can touch it. And that's exactly what he was telling Peter. Because you love me is why you do these things. I want you to bury that love so deep. He was telling Peter he was going to die. He was telling Peter he was going to die for the gospel. And he was still telling him to still focus on the body of Christ. And if you know, the tradition says that Peter, he was felt so unworthy to be crucified. He was not crucified like Christ. He was crucified upside down. Now, the only thing you're going to do, the only reason you're going to do that is because you are in love with so much with somebody, it is not going to change your mind. Let me tell you, Peter did not carry his faith in his hands out here. He carried the love of his faith and his heart of faith so buried deep inside that nobody could touch it, even when they crucified him. What did Stephen say when they stoned him to death? Father, forgive them for what they do. They don't know what they're doing. Because the heart of faith was buried so deep. Peter's focus must always be on his love for Jesus. In your walk, you will get hurt. Maybe even spiritually crushed. But your focus must be always on your love for Jesus. And to protect your spiritual sanity, you must know who you are in Jesus. Romans 8:28, you are the called. Nobody's going to take that out of your hands. Nobody's going to take it from you. No matter how much the church hurts you, no matter how much the world hurts you, you will be justified, you will be glorified in heaven because of your relationship with Jesus. When you look at Romans 8 and verse 28 again, let's go back there one more time. Romans 8, verse 28. I lost my place. Verse 28, and all know all things that work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called. You're called. In verse 30, more of them whom he did predestined, then he also called, whom he called, those he also justified. You're justified. You don't need somebody else's justification. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. Verse 37, we are more than conquerors through Him. Verse 39, again, nothing can separate you from His love. When hurts come, it's time to gear up. I won't take time to go through it, but you know very well in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting on the armor of God. You put on that helmet of salvation. Know that you're secure in that salvation that you have with the Lord Jesus. No one can take it from you. Jesus even tells us that. He says, no one can pluck you from my hand. You need to have the shield of faith. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story that I've told my kids and I told my grandkids. There's a lot about life that's not fun. And there's a lot of life about life that's not exciting. And when you're 66 years old or you're close to my age, you know just exactly what I'm saying. There's a lot of things about life that's not fun. And there's a lot of things about life that's not exciting. Much of life is getting up in the morning and putting your boots on and going to work. And you all know that. And it don't matter if you're a woman or a man. You get up in the morning, you put your boots on, and you go to work. That's your day. I remember when I was a kid, it was fighting words. If you told me that my mother wore combat boots. That was a big thing when we were kids. Your mom wears combat boots, and then the fight would be on. But let me tell you today, every mom, every grandma, every man, every woman, every grandpa, you need to have your combat boots on because you're going to go to war. This is a war that we are in for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. You are a part of God's army, and every day you need to put your boots on and go to work. In your life, it's about getting up every morning, putting your boots on, and walking for Him as a Christian. And through that daily walk, He's going to make you stronger, and He's going to build your faith. He's going to equip you. And so the question is, are you ready to be hurt? And you can say, yes, I am ready to be hurt. Satan, you might as well back down because I'm not. I will not stay. I will stay the course, keep the faith. I will live victorious through Christ Jesus. That's my position. You and I must take the position because so many times we expect the Lord to do it. When part of it is making up your mind, I don't care what I go through, I'm going to walk for Jesus. I am going to walk for Jesus. Doesn't matter if I've had cancer. Doesn't matter if I have a heart attack. Doesn't matter if I have diabetes. It doesn't matter if I face all those challenges that I might face in my life. It does not matter. It doesn't matter if brethren step on my toes. It doesn't matter if I get hurt from a church. You know what, Father? I have made the decision. I am going to follow Jesus. I have followed Him this far. I'm not turning around. I'm not backing down. I'm not sitting down. I'm going to go through for the Lord Jesus Christ till He calls us home. Amen. Amen. Amen.